This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heplin. We're breaking away from here and now so that we can bring you a live press conference from Governor Asa Hutchinson. He will be giving a briefing shortly at the state capitol about the coronavirus pandemic. It comes as he started a series of community meetings about the outbreak around the state. He will also give a primetime address on Thursday, which we will be airing here on KUAR. The first of the meetings was this morning in Benton. KUAR's Daniel Breen covered the meeting and joins me now. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Michael.
So I understand the press wasn't allowed in for the whole meeting, but what did you catch of what the governor had to say?
Well, that's right. And like you said, it's the first in a series of meetings. The governor will be going to Jonesboro and Springdale later in the week. And also, like you said, press is only present for his opening remarks. The governor essentially introduced all the local officials, county judge, mayors, et cetera, as well as the healthcare officials with Saline Memorial Hospital. And the governor essentially just talked about strategies, floating ideas of how to curb the spread of COVID-19 in Arkansas. But particularly here in the winter months and in this period where we will not have a vaccine available for at least the next few months. But most of all, the governor said, without imposing new business restrictions, he reiterated his call for no more business restrictions than what are already in place. He said the guidelines that we have are enough as is when followed, and that personal gatherings are to blame. The governor said that he would maybe consider requiring groups of 10 or more people to submit a plan to the health department. Right now, there's a requirement for groups of over 100 to do that. And he said that that wouldn't apply to sporting events or restaurants or things like that that already have their own guidelines. But again, that is not a requirement as of yet, but he said he would consider that. And mainly, the governor just said that called for more advertising, marketing campaigns, things just geared at raising public awareness for the restrictions that are already in place, particularly on the local level.
And just probably a minute or so before the governor comes out, but understand there were some people at the meeting objecting to the state's mask mandate.
Yeah, there were about 10 or 15 people, of course, not wearing masks outside of the meeting. They were not allowed in the meeting. They called themselves the Friends of Arkansas, and they were holding signs with messages like, "We will not comply." And basically, I talked to them briefly. They basically just said that a mask is essentially an equivalent to a muzzle in that it's unnecessary, and the governor is overextending his power in requiring people to wear them, and that social distancing is enough, in their opinion, to curb the spread of COVID-19. The governor did talk to them briefly, but from what I heard, that group was not satisfied with any of the answers that the governor gave them.
And we'll probably hear more shortly from the governor about this, but any indication why he has decided to hold these in-person community meetings on top of his press conferences and the primetime TV address later in the week?
Sure. Well, I think these are all things that are geared towards at least attempting to appear that we are doing something to stop the spread of COVID-19 without, as the governor has said repeatedly, imposing any new restrictions on businesses, particularly in the absence of a new relief package from Congress. The governor essentially was asking today for help and for buy-in from both the private sector and local government, just trying to sort of laser focus his approach of raising awareness of the guidelines and getting people to follow them on a local level instead of on the statewide level, as we've seen before.
And, of course, this comes as the pandemic continues to worsen in the state. Yesterday, we had 53 deaths reported, and it's expected as the week progresses, we may see new cases of people testing positive for the virus coming about 2 weeks after the Thanksgiving holiday. Any indication of what kind of people, who were the audience that came out to hear the governor today?
Well, there wasn't very much of an audience in the sense of just people coming to hear what the governor had to say. There was quite a sizable group of people that the governor himself had assembled. Like I said, the county judge in Saline County, the mayors of Benton and Bryant, various local officials, as well as administrators and healthcare workers from Saline Memorial Hospital. There was a pharmacist there. So just pretty much a wide swath of officials that could feasibly potentially help the governor out in his goal of spreading the message of what the restrictions are and why we should follow them as Arkansans.
And we're still waiting for the governor to come out to begin this press conference live. But did he have much of a, did he put on a PowerPoint display, any visuals, or did he bring out any of the state's health experts to speak? Well, actually, let me stop you there, Governor Asa Hutchinson, coming out right now. Thanks very much. That's KUAR's Daniel Breen. The governor now coming in with state officials, and this is KUAR.
Thank you for joining me for today's COVID-19 weekly update. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Romero of the Department of Health today, Secretary Johnny Key of Education. We also have remotely Larry Shackelford, CEO of Washington Regional Medical Center and member of our task force. And we also have Lance Taylor here of the Arkansas Activities Association, and give us a little update from his perspective. I first want to remark that I have set up a series of community action meetings that are designed for getting real counsel from local leaders in terms of how the community is handling COVID, but also to spur local engagement. And my first meeting today was in Saline County, and I was so impressed by the local officials who were there and the discussion that we had. One of the takeaways from my standpoint is that the mayors of multiple cities were saying that the mask compliance is very, very high in their communities, and that people are wearing masks in the stores they are as well. And I was encouraged by that. We had a very good discussion on vaccine distribution plans, testing, whether looking at our plan and then how that works in Saline Memorial Hospital and with Westside Pharmacy that are partnering to make sure that those first batch of healthcare workers will be covered. And so we got into details on that. I got feedback on our proposed and discussed new guideline that would require any indoor event in commercial properties in a commercial setting to have prior approval of their plan by the Department of Health. And because of the feedback and making sure we have all the questions answered, we're not issuing that today. We want to continue to hear from the communities that I'll be visiting later this week, and we want to make sure that we get that right. But we do encourage anyone, particularly during this month of December and January, if you're considering an event, please feel free to call the Department of Health for guidance, to let them know what you're planning, what safety precautions you have in place, and even though that's only mandated for groups of 100 or more to get that prior approval. They stand ready to help in the event that there's a wedding or event that there's an employer get together that needs to have that kind of guidance, because we want everybody to be safe. We haven't finalized the guidance yet, but we want everybody to take the necessary precautions. I would emphasize that what we're talking about does not include places of worships or restaurants, because they have their own separate guidelines that are in place in terms of the restaurants. Houses of worship are in a separate independent category. With that, I am also pleased to say that We have signed off on the, FEMA has signed off on the utilization of the 10 hospital beds at the Veterans Administration Hospital. And so we do have access to that. We're pleased with that. In terms of TraumaCon, which will help us to allocate the hospital space that's available in Arkansas, that is on target. We're hiring the resources for it. We hope to meet that deadline that we set of 2 weeks from last week. And then we also am pleased to say that we have received 125,000 additional Binex test kits. That gives us the rapid testing capability, and that's been useful for our schools that have implemented this, for our Department of Corrections, and Secretary Graves says the ability to do a rapid test of the employees is really making it a safer environment in the prison setting. And so we're pleased to see this additional shipment, and we also can use that through our Department of Health local facilities. With that, let me go to our case report. And this summary tells it all, that first, if you look at our total cases, we have 2,283 additional cases in the last 24 hours. That includes both probable cases and confirmed cases, which means that our antigen testing is picked up again. That's what happens on a Tuesday. And if you look at our testing numbers, we've got back to a very high number. Over 13,000 tests have done, combination of PCR and antigen. Whenever you see the antigen test at 3,900, that's pretty much going to mean that we're going to have an increase in our cases because they have a higher positivity rate. Our hospitalizations that went down yesterday is back up today by 28. Our ventilators is no change, but sadly, in terms of our deaths, we have an additional 39 deaths over the last 24 hours of Arkansans that have died as a result of COVID-19. That's a startling reminder of the continued challenge that we face, the deadly nature of this virus, and how we have to protect not just ourselves, but our loved ones. And as the virus might be spread, it could go to somebody who has a vulnerability in terms of preconditions or other health conditions or their age, and we would not want that to happen. So that in and of itself is a motivation for us to protect others with our own behavior. And if we look at this, well, finally, look at Pulaski County and Washington County in terms of the total new cases, 230 new cases in 24 hours in Pulaski County. Washington County, 175. And so clearly we have a lot to be careful about. And then let's look at the trend lines, which we like to do once a week. The 7-day rolling average of confirmed and probable cases both, you can see that trend line is up. And that dip down was really over the Thanksgiving holidays in which our testing was down. And so you can see the trend line has been fairly consistently up. Next, you'll see it week by week that tells the same story. And so the week of, the 39th week, that last week, November 29th through December 5th, you can see the increase in cases over that week-to-week period. In terms of hospitalizations, this is good hospital management. I applaud our hospital workers. And I think it also is reflective of some improved therapeutics that are being used. And so there is some level of steadiness there, but it could surge forward at any moment simply because of the new cases that we have been identifying. If you look at the 7-day rolling average on positivity, this is just of our PCR test, and that's above 10%, so it's too high. And we hope that that can come down. It takes everybody's help to get that done and a lot of testing. If you look at the next one is the both the PCR and antigen test. Antigen test at a higher positivity level, and you can see that's a little bit higher than what we were simply on the PCR test. And this looks at the statewide perspective, and this is by public health region in Arkansas. And you first, the top line is the Northwest, and you can see the trend line is up. You can see the both the yellow, which is the yellow is central, which is metro, and that is up, as well as the blue, which is northeast, and then the green and red is our southwest and southeast that are on the lower side, and their trend line is not as dramatic as the others. And then if we go through a little bit more detail, this is the growth rate by public health region over the last week, and you can see this is percentage-wise, it's a little bit misleading, but the southeast is growing at 9.9%, northwest is down at 8.7%, but if you look at the raw numbers, you're going to see more dramatic numbers. Next one, this is the number and growth rate of confirmed and probable cases, and here you can see in the middle of the northwest region has increased 4,600 cases. Central Arkansas has increased 3,031, northeast 2,898, and so even though percentage-wise is not as dramatic, the raw numbers shows significant growth in those two areas of the state. And this shows by age group. I just like to show this to remind people that obviously we worry about those 65 and plus that contract 9.5% of the cases, but the 0 to 17, 9.7% growth rate during the last week, and whenever we see that, we recognize they might be asymptomatic, they might feel fine, but they might be contagious at the same time, and so we've got to watch each age group and be responsible because of the impact it can have on other populations. I believe that concludes that, and with that, I'll invite Dr. Romero for his comments.
Health Secretary Jose Romero. This is KUAR.
Adding just a little bit of detail to what the governor has already said, we have had no increase in ventilator use over the last 24 hours, so we're still at 182. Our reserve for both ventilators and beds is still adequate at this time. Our testing continues to be robust. We are down a little bit on our commercial testing, and I expect that to go up over the next couple of days, so we may be seeing some more increase in our number of cases. Let me just add something. The top five counties with over 20 cases, the first one has been mentioned, which is Pulaski County, followed by Washington County, followed by Benton at 151, Garland at 118, and Faulkner at 115. As you can see, spread is still going on in these communities and needs to be mitigated by appropriate use of the mask and washing of hands and distancing. Again, I want to stress the importance of those simple measures. The CDC has come out with new recommendations with regard to the use of masks in inside settings, so that if you go into a store, if you are inside a building, you should be wearing a mask just like you are out in the public. So masking at all times is essentially what is necessary at this point. Non-essential travel is strongly discouraged. And if you are to do so, then you should look on the website regarding the CDC website regarding recommendations for testing pre and post and for measures to be taken during the time of travel. Again, discouraging travel very, very strongly. So I'll stop here and turn this back over to Secretary Key.
And this is State Education Secretary Johnny Key.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. So in the last week, we had 16 districts or schools that have made modifications to on-site instruction. Being that that's the week after Thanksgiving, I thought that was a very positive development with that number. That brings us as of yesterday to 22 active modifications and 317 that have now expired and those districts or schools have gone and returned to their regular operation. As we near the end of the first half of our school year, I wanted to look at some additional data, and I asked our team to pull some numbers out regarding the total number of districts and schools around the state and who that have made modifications or have not made modifications. 71% or 187 of our districts around the state have not had to enact district-wide modifications versus 75 districts or 29% that have had some type of district-wide modification. I think this is a very positive result, and in the next set of numbers really demonstrates that as well. 828 schools have not had either a school-wide or a grade-level modification, 79%, as opposed to 222 or 21% of our schools that have had some type of modification. What does this mean? This means that our administrators and our educators are continuing to do a good job of keeping kids in school, knowing that every school in the state, every district in the state has a virtual option. But even for those that have virtual options, they are stressing the importance of on-site instruction and keeping that done in a safe manner. Finally, I want to give a brief update on the number of districts that have signed up for the BINACS Now testing. This is the surveillance testing that was mentioned earlier today. 72 districts have signed up for this, and they are in the process of either having implemented that or getting the training for that. And the feedback so far has been very positive. While we're still crunching data, we can say from superintendents that have provided us feedback, they have found this to be a very effective use or a very effective method for screening their employees, their staff, and identifying cases early before those staff members get into a situation where they might expose others. Thank you.
And this is Lance Shackelford,
yes,
now coming to the podium.
Proud to be here today. I want to make sure I tell you my gratitude to the governor and Dr. Romero and Secretary Key. And not only from myself, I get so many letters from parents, from students, from coaches, but I think more importantly, from superintendents and principals talking about how our activities and our athletics have got school back into and helped kids get back into some kind of normalcy. So again, we receive that every day, and I want to pass that along to y'all because we know that y'all are the cause of that, letting our kids compete. So thank you very much for that. We've had a great fall. We have finished everything that we have started so far, and we're very proud of that. We thank our schools, we thank our coaches, and we think they've all done a great job following the guidelines set forth by the Department of Health. Of what you see, Secretary Key reported on, how many of them have not had to adjust at all. And our athletes have done a wonderful job. And we're almost to the end. We have football to finish up the next two Saturdays, and we have state cheer. But we have a lot of activities that have already finished. So again, between athletics and activities, we were very honored to have finished, and we look forward. And again, my message here last time is going to be the same thing. I know out there, if you're a parent or you're a fan or if you're a student or if you're an athlete, a coach, this is the most important thing that we can wear. And again, we've done a great job in the schools, and that's why we've got to finish cross country, golf, tennis, state cheer. Oh, state cheer's coming up, state dance. Volleyball. So again, keep wearing these. I know it's not the most comfortable thing, but it will make our kids successful and make sure that they're able to finish their seasons. Thank you.
And he was waving a mask.
Thank
there,
you, Lance.
Said
congratulations
that.
On a successful fall. Let's get through the winter in the same fashion. And now Larry Shackelford is with us, CEO of Washington Regional Medical Center, and he's also on our winter COVID-19 task force. It's been greatly beneficial. Larry, why don't you go ahead and make your comments, give us a little update.
Okay, Governor, thank you for the opportunity. It's my honor and privilege to be here as a representative of the Governor's Winter Task Force. As a task force, we are meeting weekly, not only as an entire task force, but also in the four work groups. We're being very, very diligent in the charge to look at options and recommendations. What can we do to properly allocate resources to be sure that we're doing what we can to reduce the spread? I would like to pause and again say thank you to the frontline healthcare workers, not only here in Northwest Arkansas, but all across Arkansas. We recognize how tirelessly that you work. We understand that you're tired, and we truly thank you for the work that's done. In terms of here in Northwest Arkansas, we do have not only the capability, but the capacity to care for our COVID and our non-COVID patients. But we have continued to see for the last several days, Washington and Benton County cases being in the top five. Just today, over 300 additional cases in Washington and Benton County. We are seeing over the last two or three weeks that is resulting in more patients needing inpatient care. We've grown over that period of time from the number in Northwest hospitals in the 70s to today over 110. This is a rate of growth that we really need to change moving forward. On the positive side, PPE is good. Testing is good in Northwest Arkansas. We've seen improvements in availability of testing supplies, of providing adequate access, and really encouraged that turnaround times have greatly improved. Here at Washington Regional yesterday, we tested over 480, and I don't believe we have any results more than 48 hours currently outstanding. But this next 2 to 4 weeks is key. We know that resources, including hospitals and clinics, are going to be tested. We're up for that test, but on behalf of all of the healthcare workers in Arkansas, I would urge you to everyone do the right thing. We need to pull in the same direction to be sure that we're successful moving forward. I'm so pleased Dr. Romero consistently talks about wearing a mask, watching your distance, washing your hands. Those, you know, that message is not new, but it's more important today than ever. But as the governor mentioned earlier, we really need to watch gathering in groups. We know that it's winter, we spend more time inside, but if you're going to be gathering in a group, whether at work or socially, be very cautious. Arkansas Department of Health is here, that they're a resource. If you have a group of 20 or more and want to talk with them about how that group can safely meet, I would definitely encourage that you do so. It's time now that we double down our efforts. I'm encouraged that we've had good news in terms of vaccines, good news in terms of the antibody treatments that are really positively impacting and keeping patients in that different non-hospitalized environment, but it's even more critical moving forward. So with that, thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Larry. A very good report, and you'll be available if there's any questions I need to throw your direction. With that, we'll turn it open for a few questions today.
So you met in Saline County this morning, right? And did I understand you to say that you got feedback, the feedback you got on restrictions on indoor gathering that made you decide to address this later after talking to other communities?
There were some questions asked. We want to have clarity, and that's you know, if you pass a do a regulation or a guideline that's out there and it's not clear or it causes confusion, you're doing more damage than good. And so we're trying to get this right. And there were some questions that were raised. What does it apply to within the school environment? I wanted to make sure that we have all those answers. We're still weighing this, and so we're going to continue to work on it.
Having more restrictions, however?
You know, I've indicated that we want to discourage venues that have crowds that can spread the virus when there's not the social distancing, the public health guidelines that are in place. We want to discourage that. I think people are actually doing this on their own in Saline County. A number of different events have been canceled. You know, at the governor's mansion, events have been canceled. And so, you know, some can be done very safely, but, you know, people are making judgments. And so this is slowing down naturally, and partly because we're talking about it and the risk associated with it. We may or may not actually put it in a guideline form. We're going to wait. And we're going to try to get that right and to make that judgment.
In the College of Public Health forecast, they mentioned that contact tracing will be more difficult with all these new cases. Do you know how that's going? Do you have enough contact tracers?
On contact tracing, I mean, they're overwhelmed. I mean, you know, there's. And the biggest challenge is the nurse investigator portion of it, which is before it's turned over to the contact tracer, and they have more flexibility. But the nurse investigator has been challenged, and that's why we brought in, 30 National Guards to assist in that. And so that's a resource challenge for us. In terms of timelines, Dr. Romero, did you want to comment any on the timelines? Dr. Sima, do you want to talk about our contact trace? Yep, it's good. Our resident expert here, give us a little update.
Yes, thank you, Governor. As the Governor mentioned, we do, and Dr. Romero mentioned, we do keep tabs on our contact tracing as well as case investigation from a QI, QA standpoint. How long is it taking for results to get investigated? How long to get sent to contact tracing and so on and so forth? And as the governor mentioned, we do see a little bit of an increase in the time that it takes for cases to be investigated that is proportional to the number of cases that we're seeing. And as a result, that then, you know, the longer time it takes to investigate a case, you know, that contributes to the time that it takes to do the contact tracing. So we are keeping tabs on that. We are working diligently with our contact tracers and make sure our processes are as efficient as possible. But this is a numbers game at the end of the day.
That was Dr. Mike Sima, Chief Epidemiologist with the Department of
Thank
Health.
Thank you. And let me emphasize that contact tracing is still very, very important. And so we need to continue to respond to these calls. And sometimes you'll get it after the fact. And many times the individual who has tested positive has already quarantined, has already called a number of people and said, I tested positive, you need to be aware of this, and steps are taken. And so a lot of this flows naturally, but the contact tracing is still a very important part of our strategy for isolating the virus and making sure that we don't add to the spread. So it is useful, continue to respond to that.
At 2 o'clock, this is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock. We're listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson.
A couple of questions regarding the case investigations. You said last week regarding potential restrictions that basically the most important question is where the cases are coming from, and that health department data says that bars, restaurants, and gyms aren't a significant source of transmission. Can you comment on whether the case investigation data is good enough or the methodology is designed to answer that question? Because at least based on what's been publicly released, it's not clear sort of how many people are responding or whether the information that we do have is conclusive on that question of whether it's coming from bars and restaurants. And second question along these lines, you said that the vast majority of cases are coming from social gatherings. Is there specific health department data regarding the frequency of transmission among family or during gatherings that take place in homes?
All right, so Dr. Sima, do you have a comment on this? Come forward here. And so we will answer this. I'll let them answer it. If we need to follow up, we can do so.
Dr. Sima. Again, Dr. Mike Sima with the Department of Health.
Yes, thank you. Regarding the information on bars, restaurants, what we put out publicly, that is a question that we ask every single case. Where have you been? What have you been doing in the past 14 days? Now, unfortunately, because of the long incubation period and really, you know, the various times that people can become infected at different places, it is exceedingly difficult to pin down where exactly somebody was infected. So we're trying to capture as much detailed information as we possibly can. A lot of this information is qualitative in nature. The social gathering information, as the governor mentioned, is qualitative in nature. We are analyzing that, and we are finding social clusters that related to Halloween. We'll be looking into social clusters related to Thanksgiving as well as that data becomes available.
Next question.
Hi, Governor. This is Allie Lynch with 5 News in Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley. My question to you is, what is the state's plan on distributing the vaccine? Who will be the first in line to receive the vaccine?
We'll be following the CDC guidelines, and the first batch of the vaccine, which hopefully will be approved this week, will go to our healthcare workers. And then as the Moderna batch is approved by the FDA, then that will move into our long-term care facilities for the residents of our nursing homes and their staff. It should be noted that as the first batch goes out for our healthcare workers, that there will not be sufficient in the first round to vaccinate everyone, and so we will be waiting for additional shipments to be able to conclude all of our healthcare workers, and then it will move on to other priorities. The first two priorities, again, are the healthcare workers and then the long-term care residents and staff. Those are two important ones, the most vulnerable and those that are really on the front line.
Governor Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. I have a question for Dr. Romero. Here in Columbia County, it's easy to walk into the health unit and get tested for COVID. However, it's my understanding that in densely populated areas like Northwest Arkansas, waits are long and getting test results takes even longer. Is that true? Are you concerned about it? And if so, what is the health department doing to speed up the process?
I'm going to let, obviously, Dr. Romero answer that, but I would refer you back to what Larry Shackelford at Washington Regional Medical Center said earlier about their testing capacity in Northwest Arkansas.
Health Secretary Jose Romero now coming to the podium to answer this.
So we do have the capacity to see patients and individuals for testing up in Northwest Arkansas. One thing that's important to keep in mind is that you need to make an appointment. It's not just show up because of the scheduling of individuals. So we know that there's a press to have this done. I've not heard that people are being turned away or that there is a prolonged waiting period, but I will look into it. Our turnaround time still continues to, we try to reach that 24 to 48 hours. I haven't heard from my epidemiologist that that is being prolonged at this time, but again, we can follow up with that data as soon as we're done with the press conference.
Governor, this is Alex with Channel 7.
Yes.
My first question is, are you disappointed to see Attorney General Leslie Rutledge post photos at an event with fellow GOP leaders, not wearing masks, not social distancing? My second question is, as Dr. Romero is discouraging non-essential travel, have you considered reimposing any travel restrictions for out-of-state travelers coming to Arkansas? Yeah.
On the first part of your question, I think the Attorney General's answered that question public fashion, and I think we'll leave it at that. In terms of the travel restrictions, I think that's the right message that Dr. Romero communicated in the CDC, that we should be mindful that travel adds to the risk of the spread. And so if we can minimize that and limit it to essential travel, then we ought to do that. And, you know, I know that, if you've got someone across the globe that are, across the states that needs to come home because of a break. You know, you've got to measure it as to whether that's essential and that's necessary for everybody's well-being. But I would encourage that if you do travel, that testing should be a part of those plans. And so if you travel out of necessity, look at the potential of getting a test. And I think that would be helpful to the traveler as well as everyone else.
Hey, Governor, this is Josh White with KAIT. I have two questions, if you'll allow. Number one, the group with the most positives is 0 to 17, 9.7%. Yet we are not doing any kind of restrictions or anything targeted to those ages. If they're the number one spreaders, why are we not targeting them? And then number two, real quick, back in winter in January and February this year, absenteeisms in schools hovered around 10 to 15% because of flu. The state allowed the schools to close for 4-day weekends and even some for the whole week. Looking at absentee numbers now, we're well above that average, and yet we're not allowing schools to really move virtual or do split of virtual and classroom. Why does it seem easier to close for flu yet harder for coronavirus?
I'm gonna let Secretary answer the last part of that. In terms of the first part of the question on the age group of 0 to 17, they had a 9.7% increase in the number of cases week to week. You know, they are under the same restrictions as everybody else. If they go to school, they wear a mask. If they go into a restaurant, they wear a mask. And so they have the same responsibility as everyone else. They probably in the school environment have more restrictions than someone in the average work environment, actually. And that's what makes it a safer area. So we are paying close attention to that age group, and particularly that's the school age group, and we are focusing on that. Secretary Key.
I think the premise of the question is not correct. We are indeed working with districts every day that are shifting to virtual learning. They are shifting either at a grade level or a school level or in some cases a district level, and working with them quite well. I think the data that I mentioned earlier certainly speaks to the fact that schools are working hard to stay open. To compare a normal flu season with COVID is simply not a good comparison. Flu season is short term, 2, 3, 4 days closure, and then those days are made up at the end of the school year. We are trying to keep the continuity of a school year going for the as many students as we possibly can. And we will continue through the second half of the school year to work with districts to make sure that they can safely transition and meet the needs of their students' educational needs.
Let's take one last question, and some of these will be available afterwards for more. But is there one last question remotely, I hear?
Thank you, Governor. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs at KZNG. This is a question, I think, for Dr. Romero about vaccine distribution, and that is with 25,000 cases, doses of the vaccine coming, I presume they're not interchangeable. In other words, if you start with a Pfizer vaccine, your second dose has to be Pfizer. So do we have follow-up dates for other shipments? In other words, if we administer 25,000 doses to healthcare workers, you need to know when the next 25,000 of Pfizer are coming, or can a Moderna be the second dose?
The answer is yes, but Dr. Romero.
So thank you, Neil. The question is, we will be receiving, the answer to the question, excuse me, we will be receiving at periodic intervals sufficient vaccine to keep going forward, and you're correct. Pfizer vaccine is not interchangeable, at least at this time, with Moderna vaccine. So a vaccinee who receives Pfizer must complete his vaccine with Pfizer. We have been told by the federal government that we will be receiving weekly aliquots or allotments of vaccine, which we'll be using to immunize new individuals, and eventually, in 3 or 4 weeks, we'll receive another allotment to go back to the first group and immunize them. So it's sequential and planned, and we will also receive the same with Moderna.
Thank you. And with that, let's conclude today, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Apologize, I have a commitment I've got to rush to, but Dr. Romero will be available if there's something to follow. Thank you.
This is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. We've been listening to a live press briefing from Governor Asa Hutchinson, his regular weekly update. First, the case report, 39 additional deaths were reported today. That follows yesterday's one-day record of 53. Hospitalizations up by 28, 1,081 people now being treated in the state. And over the last 24 hours, 2,283 new cases were reported of people testing positive for the virus. That includes confirmed and probable cases. And Governor Asa Hutchinson there said he expects that will grow as the week progresses, which has been the consistent pattern that we've seen. Hutchinson has been talking about imposing new restrictions for indoor gatherings of more than 100 people. But after a community meeting this morning in Benton, he said that they've made the decision to not implement that today. These are things like weddings, employer get-togethers, which would need prior approval from the state. It does not include houses of worship or restaurants, but he was later questioned about that and said he wants to be able to have more clear instructions about how to go forward with that. The governor also spoke about contact tracers being overwhelmed. These are people who work to determine how people became infected, where they became infected, and work to then contact people who might have come in contact with those who did become infected. Larry Shackelford spoke as a representative of the governor's winter COVID-19 task force. He's president and CEO of Washington Regional Medical Center in Fayetteville. He said the next 2 to 4 weeks will be key for the state in terms of new hospitalizations. He said he expects that facilities will be tested like never before, and encouraged, as we have been repeatedly hearing, that people take the steps needed, wear a mask, social distancing, and also limiting travel as much as possible. A few other points here. The governor was asked about vaccines and the order. No difference here from what he said last week. Healthcare workers will get the first batch of the vaccine that arrives in the state. There will not be a sufficient supply to provide the vaccines to all healthcare workers, but as we get more healthcare workers, will be the first priority, followed by people in long-term care facilities, residents, and staff, the most vulnerable people in the state. So that's the governor's press briefing. As I mentioned earlier, the governor does have a series of community meetings planned for around the state. The first held this morning in Benton, and KUAR's Daniel Breen will be preparing more on that for later this afternoon during All Things Considered. Tomorrow he will be, I believe, in Springdale, followed Thursday by a community meeting in Jonesboro. Thursday night, the governor will have a primetime television address at 7 p.m. That's the first time he has spoken in the evening, and obviously working to reach the highest number of people possible there during that television address. We'll also be broadcasting that for you here on KUAR. So that's it for now. We'll continue bringing further updates from the governor as they come. I'm Michael Heplin. This is KUAR 89.1.